All right, well, welcome to our last installment of Approaching God, deepening your relationship with your Heavenly Father. We've been looking for the last 5 weeks at this topic, and we're going to wrap it up tonight. And just as a preview, as a reminder, Claude mentioned this earlier, but as a preview, we'll have the Fall Bible Conference next week, and then we'll start a brand new, different series the week after that. But let me remind you of what we've covered so far. And then we'll wrap it up. This is our theme verse, Hosea 6, 1 to 3. And verse 3 says, "So let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going forth is as certain as the dawn, and He will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain." So that's our theme verse. And we started out looking at four presuppositions, and we looked at four obstacles that can keep us from deepening our relationship with God. Then the next week we looked at some truths about the Christian life, and then we talked about approaching God confidently and what that can look like. The next week we talked about approaching God as a child, approaching Him in a childlike manner and what that looks like. Then we talked about approaching God boldly and what that might look like. Tonight I want to end by talking to you a little bit about one of the major obstacles that we might face. What do we do when we're trying to approach God, but God seems distant? That's what I want us to talk about tonight. You know, sometimes in the Christian life, when you're seeking to approach God, you seem to be doing all the right things. You seem to be doing everything that the Bible says and that your friends tell you and that the church tells you to do, but you get nothing. Seems like there's just no response. There seems to be times when God not only is distant, but it's almost as if He's withdrawing, that He's hiding His face. Is that true? Are there times when God hides His face? You know, we've said repeatedly in here over these last 5 weeks that God is always happy to see our face and happy to hear our voice. And we know from Scripture that the promise that if we draw near to God, what? He will draw near to you. If you seek God, what? You will find Him. Those are the promises of God. And we know those things to be true. But the Bible also speaks of this truth, that there are times in the Christian life where God seems to withdraw. He seems to hide His face. This is the verse I want us to think about tonight from Isaiah chapter 8, verse 17. And that verse says this, "I will wait for the Lord who is hiding His face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in Him. I will wait for the Lord who is hiding His face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in Him." What's going on here? The Bible speaking about God hiding His face from His people. Does God really hide His face? Does He really hide His countenance? Does He really seem to withdraw His presence from us? The answer is yes. And I want to just take a moment to show you a little bit of historical weight to this. And I want to show you four passages from, real briefly, from the Westminster Confession of Faith. And I love these passages, and I love showing them to people because I want you to see the wisdom of these men and how much pastoral theology is embedded in this great theological document. Okay, four passages real quickly. The first one is from chapter 5, verse 5, and it says this, "The most wise, righteous, and gracious God does oftentimes leave, for a season, His own children to manifold temptations and the corruption of their own hearts, to chastise them for their former sins, or to discover unto them the hidden strength of corruption and deceitfulness of their hearts, that they may be humbled, and to raise them to a more close and constant dependence for their support upon Himself, and to make them more watchful against all future occasion of sin." Chapter 11 says it this way, "God continues to forgive the sin of those that are justified, and although they can never fall from the state of justification, yet they may, by their sins, fall under God's fatherly displeasure and not have, notice this, the light of His countenance restored to them until they humble themselves, confess their sins, beg pardon, and renew their faith and repentance. And I love that. They may not have the light of His countenance. That's going to be important. 17:3 says it this way, skipping out of the middle of it. They may grieve the Holy Spirit and come to be deprived of some measure of the graces and comforts, have their hearts hardened and their consciences wounded, hurt and scandalize others, and bring temporal judgments upon themselves. That's another description of a time of withdrawal in the Christian life. And the last one is 18:4 that says this, that true believers may have the assurance of their salvation in many ways shaken. And then notice this, by God's withdrawing the light of His countenance and suffering even such as fear Him to walk in darkness and to have no light. I just love that language, that there are times in the Christian life where we are walking still with the Lord, but what happens to us is that the light of His countenance is withdrawn temporarily, and that we walk in darkness, that we don't have the full light of His face. Now, before we jump into this, we need to get some things straight and clarify some things. And these clarifications are important because we're going to be talking tonight about a truth of Scripture, but it's important that we understand the context of this Scripture. You know, when we read the Bible as believers, we're called to not only understand the truth of God's Word, but the priority of God's Word. In other words, it's not only important that we understand the Bible's true meaning, but we also have to understand the Bible's proper proportion of that truth. The Bible can, you know, we can misuse the Bible by misunderstanding the truth, misinterpreting the truth, and that would lead us into error. But we could also take something interpreted and understood correctly, but elevated to a primary position when it shouldn't be a primary position. It's distorted. There are Bible passages that tell us to weep and gnash our teeth, go into mourning. Okay? But if you build your life around that, that's going to be out of proportion to the whole of Scripture. Okay? We have to look at the whole counsel of God. And we're going to be talking tonight about God's withdrawing His countenance. But the reason I say this is because God's hiding His face from us is the exception to the Christian life and not the rule. And it's important to understand that. We're talking about temporary episodes in the Christian life, not the rule. And we don't need to take this truth and let it hang as a pall over our entire Christian life and say, well, God, I've been a Christian for 30 years and I've never seen the light of God's countenance. His face has never... That's not what we're talking about, okay? So I want to clarify a couple of things before we jump into this topic. And the first one is this. We don't need to equate difficult circumstances with the absence of God. Those are not the same thing. Don't equate difficult circumstances with the absence of God. The temptation is when we go into difficult circumstances, when we encounter difficult times and go through different trials in our life, say, well, God's withdrawn. I can't be close to God. God's withdrawn. That might be true, but they're not the same thing. You can be in difficult circumstances and be going through a trial and be very close to God. In fact, most of the time people will say that's when you're closest to God. Is in the midst of the trial. So you can be in difficult circumstances and be far from God, or you can be difficult circumstances close to God. You can be in pleasant, prosperous circumstances and be close to God, and you can be in prosperous circumstances and far from God. Those are two different axes. They're related, but they're not the same thing. And when we say, well, things are hard, God must be hiding His face, that's prosperity. That's what we would call prosperity gospel thinking. That if I'm right with God, it's going to show up in my bank account. Okay? If I'm right with God, then my life is going to be perfect. And then if my life, and I can deduce the other way as well, if my life is going well and it's perfect, then I must be right with God. That's faulty theology, bad theology, faulty thinking. The truth is, circumstances and nearness to God are different things. They operate on different planes. And you can be close to God in difficult circumstances and close to God in good circumstances. Far from God in difficult circumstances, far from God in good circumstances. Okay, so they're different. Don't equate difficult circumstances with, well, I'm absent from God or God's absent from me. That's not the same thing. That's not what we're. So we're not talking about tonight. We're not talking about times of just difficulty. Okay, we're talking about a spiritual issue. The second thing, don't equate your passivity with the absence of God. What do we mean by that? Well, it should be clear from this whole study that we have an obligation to draw near to God. Okay? If we're not doing our... So let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. We have to press into the Lord. We have to press into His heart. We have to seek to draw near to Him. We have to seek Him. He's calling... And He's promising, and He's embracing, and He's drawing near to us, but we have to press into Him. So, what I'm saying is, we can't say, well, God's far away from me. He must be hiding His face. And if you ask the question, well, are you pressing into Him? No. Are you seeking His face? No. I guess He's just hiding His face. Well, that's not the same thing. You see what I'm saying? You can't say, well, God's hiding His face, but be doing nothing to seek His face. So inactivity and passivity on our part, us not doing what we need to do, is not the same thing as God hiding His face. That's just us not pressing into His... That's disobedience on our part. That's laziness on our part. That's inactivity. Okay? We don't just show up and say, okay, God, here I am. You have to come see me. So, we do that a lot of times. But we have to open our hearts. We have to invite Him in. We have to come boldly and confidently before Him. We have to come like a child. That's what we've been talking about. Okay, so God's withdrawing His face is not the same as difficult circumstances. God's withdrawing His face is not the same as us being lazy. And God's withdrawing His face is not the same as us living in unconfessed sin. We've already talked about this. We talked about this, in fact, the very first week. We talked about some obstacles that are common obstacles. And one of the obstacles that we talked about is unconfessed sin. You cannot draw near to God if there is unconfessed sin in your life. It can't happen. God and sin are incompatible. And He has an answer for sin. It's not our sin that will keep us from closeness, but if we're holding on to it, if we're not bringing it to Him and offering it to Him for cleansing and healing, if we're not bringing it out and getting it out, then we can't draw close. So unconfessed sin, a failure to receive forgiveness, a failure to accept His forgiveness, either because we haven't confessed it or because we're failing to receive God's forgiveness for sin, those things are going to keep us from God. So the hiding of God's face is not because, it can never be because, we're not talking about tonight a distance that's created because of our unconfessed sin. Okay? What does David say in Psalm 139? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. You see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So, God, You search me. Search me out. When You see it, let me get it out, and I bring my sin to You for forgiveness, for cleansing, for healing, for washing, for freedom. This is what we do with sin. So, the Bible does speak, and we're going to talk tonight about God's hiding face, but it is not the same as difficult circumstances. It's not the same as our passivity, and it's not the same as unconfessed sin. We're talking about something different. Okay? What we are talking about tonight is the absence of God's face, when we seem to be seeking His face, when we seem to be pressing in and confessing our sin and drawing near to Him, doing all the right things, and He still seems far away. Does that happen? Yes. Look at Isaiah. It's amazing. This must be a theme. I haven't really studied this, but a number of these passages are coming from the book of Isaiah. The first one was Isaiah 1:8, but here are two more from Isaiah 54, verses 7 and 8. For a brief moment I deserted you, but with great compassion I will gather you. In overflowing anger, for a moment I hid my face from you, but with everlasting love I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. And then Isaiah 45:15, truly you are a God who hides Himself, O God of Israel, the Savior. So there you have, God does speak of these times when His face is hidden, and the language we were talking, the language that the Confession of Faith uses is spot on, because the Bible speaks of it as the countenance of God, as His face, the face of God. Now, why is that so important? Why is the face of God what the imagery that's used? Well, all throughout the Bible, the hiding of the face of God is the removal of His favor. It's really punishment. Okay? So the hiding of the face of God that we're talking about tonight is the temporary obscuring. Here's the definition. What is the hiding of God? The hiding of the face of God is the temporary obscuring of God's face so that we cannot clearly and easily enjoy intimacy and closeness with Him. The temporary obscuring of God's face so that we cannot clearly and easily enjoy intimacy and closeness with Him. And the reason it's, all throughout the Bible we see the face of God as being the description of what it means to live in God's favor and blessing, and what we really need. That's what we were made for, is God's face, God's countenance, God's presence. So, what's the punishment for sin? Leaving God's presence. In fact, eternal death in the Bible is described of as being eternal removal from the presence of God. 2 Thessalonians 1:9 tells us that eternal punishment is the eternal removal of someone from the presence of God. And that is the ultimate punishment. Because we were made for the presence of God. That's our life. Paul talks about how even Moses enjoyed coming into the glory of God and how that was life to him. And how every one of us is now drawing near to God with an unveiled face, being changed from one degree of glory to another. And this comes from the Spirit. He says, because in Christ, He has opened up the way so that we can all come into the presence of God fully without any mediator. So, the hiding of the face of God is this temporary obscuring of God's face. And as we're going to see later, it's not punishment for us, but it feels we're diminished because that's what we're made for. Our life is, we're in darkness because we were made for the light of God. Now, the confession, I think, wisely says that we do not enjoy the light of God's presence, and it uses the language or says it in such a way that is very important. They're not saying, and the Bible is not saying, that during these times God's presence is removed. What it's saying is that we don't see the light of it. In other words, God is still there, but what is obscured from us is His face, His pleasure, His life. You know, if you're out in the enjoying the sun and it's a partly cloudy day, and this huge cloud passes between you and the sun, and you're in the shadows for a moment, the sun's still there, right? The sun's still there, but you're in the shade. You're in the shadows. And at that moment, you're not in the full light of the sun. You're not in the full light. And in these times, this is what the Bible is describing. These are times when God's light and His warmth and His guidance and His life is withdrawn. There's an obscuring or a withdrawal, a hiding of some sort. God is still present, but there's a temporary obstruction. Now, if that's true, why in the world would God do that? Why in the world would God hide His face from us? Well, I think there are a number of reasons, and our confession even says there are various sundry reasons. Well, we're not going to look at all the sundry reasons, but I do want to give you four that I think we can see of reasons why God does this. And I think it's helpful for us to understand this because all of these reasons are good reasons. And it's going to come back to a later point that God does this for good reasons, okay? And the first reason is this: to make us humble. To make us humble. You know, Paul suffered through a time where he had a thorn in the flesh, and so he went through this ongoing, recurring hardship, and it was a source of back and forth, and it wasn't quite the same thing necessarily. I mean, it was a hardship, but it was a hardship that caused this hiding of God in his life. And one of the reasons that Paul says in 2 Corinthians, this is in 2 Corinthians 12, by the way, in that passage from about 1 to 10 is where he talks about this, verses 1 to 10, 2 Corinthians 7, 1 to 10. But he says twice in the verses 7 to 9 that God did it to keep him from being conceited. To keep him from being conceited. Now, I'm not a big fan, and I don't think it's wise to, when something difficult happens or something good happens or something, whatever happens in our lives, and you ever done this or heard people say, well, God did this because blank. Really? Did he tell you? Yeah, we don't always know why God's doing it. It's okay to say, well, this is what I learned. This is what God was teaching me. This is what I learned in the middle of that. We'll never know all the reasons that God does it. But apparently, Paul did know that at least one of the reasons God did this in his life was to keep him from being conceited. I think it was a way of saying that this is what happened in his life, is that God, that this humbled Paul. And one of the reasons that God does sometimes hide his face is to humble us. Not to keep us down, but to show us our need. To show us how needy we are. Because you and I both can become pretty prideful and self-reliant and think, well, I've got it together. I don't need this. I don't need that. I think I've got it together. Things are going fine. You can only appreciate the light when you're in the darkness. Whenever Laurie, it doesn't happen so much now, but whenever Laurie would go out of town and I'd have the kids, she'd call back in and say, well, what'd y'all have for dinner tonight? And I'd say, pizza. Call back the next night. What'd you have for dinner tonight? Chinese. what'd y'all have for dinner tonight? Pizza. It's just kind of and after about 2 or 3 days of that, you're like, wow, really ready for mommy to get back. You start missing, you take for granted, just the simple things. And sometimes God removes the light of his countenance to show us how helpless we really are and how needy we really are, how weak and small. We're small. God's answer to us is not, hey, you're really a lot better off than you think you are. That's not his answer. His answer is, yes, you're small, but I'm big. I've got this. That's his answer. So one reason he does it is to humble us. Another reason he might do it is to keep us closer to him. Paul says, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this thorn that it should leave me. You think if you read 2 Corinthians 12, 1 to 10, you kind of get the impression, you kind of have a hard time reading that and thinking, you know, boy, I think Paul was really seeking the Lord's face. He was really drawing close to the Lord. You know, when you go through, when God backs up or hides his face, that makes you want to draw closer. It's ironic, but one of the reasons that he may hide his face is so that we might more aggressively seek to be near him. So that we would press into him more. Sometimes in order to keep us close, he lets us wander. We've taken several trips to Walt Disney World with my in-law, Laurie's family. My father-in-law, that's one of the things he does. And over the years, because I'm obsessive compulsive about these kinds of things, you know, I'm the guy with the map and the schedule. And so last time we went, there were 14 of us navigating Walt Disney World. Yeah. So you can imagine what that's like. And so, you know, try to keep that long string of people. Everybody wants to walk at their own pace, apparently. And they might choose to go over here and see this attraction, or that looks nice. And my brother-in-law was the worst. You know, you'd look around. If he just saw a turkey leg or cotton candy or whatever, he was always at the back, and he would just wander off, not tell anybody, not answer his cell phone. Just go somewhere. And, you know, so you start thinking, well, I'm just going to teach him a lesson. We'll just let him go off by himself and kind of get separated, and he'll stay closer. It never worked with him. But with us, God may say, I'm going to kind of back off and create some distance here and so that you'll stay closer to me. So that I'm not really going to let you get far, but I'm going to hide a little bit. So that you'll press into me and so that you'll stay closer to me. A third reason, deepen our dependence and keep us closer to him, and then deepen our dependence. Similar to the one previous to this, he keeps us closer, but it's not just closeness, it's to keep us dependent. Paul said it in 2 Corinthians 12. He said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Paul knew that his strength came from not his strength, but from his weakness, from his dependence. And one of the other reasons God might hide his face is to make us more dependent upon him. It grows from our humility, but we see we need the Lord, and then we lean into him. We press into him. We trust him more. We depend upon his grace more. We ask for his strength more. We ask for his wisdom more. We say more often, Lord, I can't do this. I need you to do this. When you're not here, I don't see. When you're not here, I am weak. When you're not here, I do get into trouble. And it deepens our dependence upon him. And the fourth reason is to make us more watchful. Paul boasts of his weakness so that God's power would be in him. In other words, his weakness makes him more watchful. He doesn't ignore his weakness. He embraces it and says, I'm weak. I'm weak. And his weakness made him more aware of his weakness. He took it to the cross and he dealt with it. So sometimes God does it to make us not just more humble, to draw us closer, makes us more dependent, but so that we'll press into him, okay, to make us more watchful. Okay. So that's why God does it. God does hide his face. It's the temporary obscuring of the light of God's presence so that we don't enjoy easily and quickly what it means to live close to him. Now, those are the reasons that God doesn't. But let me also say a few words about what it's like. About the nature of this withdrawing or this hiding, because it's very important to understand these as well. These are three principles about God's hiding his face for his children. And here they are, but we want to just think about these. No, the first thing is to remember that when we're talking about God hiding His face, God's hiding face is always temporary, never permanent. Never permanent. It can't be. Isaiah 54:8 says, in overflowing anger for a moment, I hid my face from you. For a moment. We're talking about moments in the Christian life, not the full character of it. So I don't want you to walk away tonight thinking, I'm just going to live life without intimacy with God and closeness with God. That's not the norm. This is an exception. For God's children, the hiding of His face is always temporary. It's never permanent. You can be confident that whenever you draw near to God, that He is going to draw near to you, that when you seek Him, you will find Him. What we're talking about are temporary moments, temporary episodes. And so that even when you draw near to Him, or you seek Him, and you don't find Him immediately, you can still be confident that soon, very soon, that you will. Be patient. It is not possible for God, because God is God and because you're His children, it's not possible for Him to remain this way to you for long. You are His child, and He wants to be close to you. And what He is doing purposely, intentionally, for a reason, and it has a specific duration in His providence. And it will come to an end soon. So He knows how painful it is for His presence to be withdrawn. His timing is perfect, and He will soon come. We don't know what His timing is, and it's not the same in every person's life. But we do know that it's temporary and never permanent because of God's promises. And Isaiah 54:8 tells us, for a moment I hid my face from you. The second principle you need to understand about this is that it's always partial and never total. It's always partial and never total. God's face we never go into a total eclipse from the light of God's countenance. Never. Very few people have really ever experienced total darkness. We've been in some dark rooms. But if you've ever been in a really dark room, really dark, and you think, boy, this is total darkness, and maybe you experience this, and you let your eyes adjust, and pretty soon you can start to see some little shadows. And pretty soon your eyes will begin, there's a little bit of light, even at night, even in the darkest nights when there's no moon and there are no stars, there's still light. There's still light in the darkness. And it's the same way for us in these situations. Even though we're in darkness, we're never in total darkness. We never experience a total eclipse of God's face from us. That would be, we couldn't endure that. That's what hell is. That's what death is. That's what total death is. Total darkness is petrifying, and total absence of the face of God is petrifying as well. God never leaves us completely. Hebrews 13:5 promises us a number of other passages where God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never turn my back completely on you. It's always a shadow. It's always a hiding, not a complete withdrawal. Those are different. There's only one that saw reality completely apart from God, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Even those that have died have not yet fully experienced the full withdrawing. They haven't been complete because there's still something to come at the judgment where they'll be cast into utter darkness apart from God's presence. So we know that it's always temporary, never permanent, and it's always partial, never total. And the third thing is that it's always purgative or cleansing, never punitive. It's always purgative. I had to find another P word. Always purgative, never punitive. And it's, in other words, purgative means cleansing or purifying or corrective. Whenever God withdraws His face, it's to make us better, not to punish us. Punishment, the only punishment for sin, is death. So God's hiding, and He's already punished Jesus Christ for our sins. He doesn't punish Jesus Christ and say, I am going to punish you too. That would be unjust, and God would not dole out two punishments for one sin, right? You can't do that. That would be unjust. So He's not going to, if He's punished Christ for your sin, He can't also punish you for your sin. That would be unjust of God. So whatever we receive from God can never be punishment. It can only be corrective discipline. Hebrews 12:8 says, He disciplines us as children. So God's hiding is corrective in nature only. It's never punitive. So what is God's hiding face? Well, it's the temporary obscuring of the light of God's countenance so that we don't easily and quickly enjoy the blessings of God's providence and enjoy His guidance and enjoy His life and enjoy His presence in our life. Why does He do it? Well, He does it for a lot of reasons, all for our good. But it's always temporary. It's never permanent. It's always partial, never total, and it's always purgative, never punitive. Well, what do we do in these situations? What do you do when you're seeking the Lord and He doesn't show up as quickly as you thought? Well, you know it's going to be temporary. You know He's going to be showing up soon. You know that you will be closer to Him very quickly. So what do you do? What do you think God would do with you if He were drawing near and you were not reciprocating? Do you think He'd get impatient and storm away? Or do you think He'd wait? Do you think He'd wait patiently? Well, I think we know that He'd wait patiently. And Psalm 40, that's the wrong one. Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3 says this, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. The instruction to us when you seek to draw near to God and you don't get what you expect is to wait. To wait and endure with Him as He would endure with you. Persevere with Him as He would persevere with you. Hang on to Him as He would hang on to you. Wait. There's so many times in the Scripture where it says, wait on the Lord. Be strong and of good courage and wait on the Lord. And this is when we wait. When you press into the Lord and you seek His face and it doesn't show up in the timing or the way that you want, don't be discouraged. Wait. And what God sees is one of His children who's longing to be with Him, and He will come soon. He will come soon. Wait on the Lord. Be strong and of good courage. Wait patiently for the Lord. That's why in Isaiah 8:17, our verse tonight says, I will wait for the Lord who is hiding His face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in Him. That's what we do. We'll wait for the Lord. So, all right, that's our series.